This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. There's been a lot of controversy and discussion regarding the quote-unquote deal between Western powers and Iran. Now, I want to go back a little bit and show you the reaction from all corners as to how the perception has been and still is regarding this arrangement. Here's an article by Breitbart, dated April 3, saying that the question at stake is not whether there will be war with Iran. There already is. The question simply is not whether there will be war, but whether Iran will be able to obtain a nuclear weapon. And while President Obama promised Thursday that the framework agreement closes off all path to a bomb, that is simply not true. The negotiations took place as if in a vacuum, separate from the role Iran is playing in the region, as if its ongoing, non-negotiable pledges to destroy Israel didn't matter, as if Iran was not supervising the slaughter of innocents in Syria or trying to bomb an embassy in Uruguay. Now, this wasn't only Breitbart which said that. Here's an article by the Jerusalem Post from March 29, talking about Rabbi Shlomo Raskin, the chief rabbi of Efrat, on Saturday night compared U.S. President Barack Obama to Haman and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to Mordecai. See, perhaps you know the story in the Book of Esther. He said that, and he spoke at the Jerusalem Great Synagogue, the American-born Raskin said that he couldn't understand what was going on and through Obama's mind. The President of the United States is lashing out at Israel just like Haman lashed out at the Jews, he said. And of course, Haman was the bad guy who tried to kill and eradicate all the Jews. And only because of Esther's intervention that was stopped. Raskin was not the only prominent rabbi to criticize Obama over the weekend for his diplomatic policies. The World Values Network, founded and run by an American rabbi, took out a full-page advertisement in the New York Times on Saturday, comparing the deal being drawn up with Iran on its nuclear project to the Munich Agreement, signed in 1938 by British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain with Adolf Hitler, widely seen as an act of appeasement that emboldened the Nazi leader. Now, you might say, oh, that's just the Jews, so they are, of course, against the agreement with Iran. But that is not true, because here's an article by the editorial board of the Washington Post from April 6 saying this: President Obama has launched an aggressive lobbying campaign for his preliminary nuclear deal with Iran. Unfortunately, the president's claims could have a self-fulfilling quality. Worryingly, the fact sheets issued by the U.S. and Iranian governments differ sharply. The gulf between those two scenarios is extremely important. Now, notice this article by the Associated Press, dated April 5. The implications of a weak United States are not just regional, but global, affecting events from Russia to China and North Korea. I want you to keep this in mind and, again, remember very carefully the implications of a weak United States. That is the impression which is being given by the United States to its allies and to the countries, actually, in the Middle East, and, of course, to countries like Russia and China. They're just weak. They're just unable, unwilling to do something productive. Newsmax reported on April 10, Iran's top officials, Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei and President Hassan Rouhani, are saying economic sanctions must end immediately and that UN inspectors will not be granted unfettered access to military installations and nuclear construction sites. Now, haven't you heard that, well, we might have to wait with the sanctions to lift those sanctions a little bit and we have to have access to those sites? And now Iran is saying, no, they're not going to have that. Goes on to say there's no provision for or even discussing of putting political restraints on Iran. That is, there is nothing in this deal that would force Iran to change its terrorist ways. Iran will continue to be the number one state sponsor of terrorism in the Middle East, no matter what's the deal. This article goes on to say Iran is our enemy, whether the president believes it or not. And if we cut deals that allow Iran to continue its terrorist and hegemonic activities, the Obama administration will have created an unbelievable Middle East powder keg, setting the stage for a conflict that could possibly dwarf any we have seen before. Did you catch that? The United States has created this powder keg in the Middle East. They, according to this article, will be responsible for the murder of thousands, if not millions, of people. That's the charge. That's the allegation. It goes on to say, "This is the worst U.S. foreign policy of my lifetime," this author says. "It may be the worst in American history." These are strong words. Do you recognize how weak the United States appears to be, according to these opinions? How weak, how totally and completely and utterly helpless. The Washington Post on April 9 published an article by Charles Krautheimer, who said this: "As Kissinger and Schultz point out, we, the Americans, will be fought every step of the way, leaving the United States, not Iran, isolated." Did you catch that? Having come up with this questionable deal, and now, of course, trying to figure out what the deal actually contains, and coming up with a more final deal, and everybody seems to disagree on what actually the preliminary deal contains, we, the United States, will become more and more isolated in the world, because everybody else now wants to have economic contact with Iran. It says, "The prospective agreement is so clearly a pathway to an Iranian bomb that the Saudis are signaling that the deal itself would impel them to go nuclear." So now the other countries over there, they want to have the bomb too, because they know with that deal, Iran is going to have the bomb, no matter what they'll say who kind of supports the deal. Deutsche Welle wrote this on April 14. "Senators from both sides of the aisle have compromised over a bill allowing congressional review of any final nuclear deal with Iran. The measure calls for the lifting of sanctions only with legislative approval." But when I read the word compromise, I already get a very eerie feeling, because I wonder now, how did they compromise? What did they compromise on? And here's what they compromised on. In order to get that deal, to have Congress somewhat involved, but then there are still veto powers, and then the Congress has to restrict those and all of that. But notice, President Obama withdrew his objection to the bill after language was removed obligating him to prove that Tehran was not engaging in terrorism. That's off the table. He doesn't have to prove that at all. Everybody knows Iran is engaged in terrorism, and so the deal doesn't even address the issue. Not only that, it goes on to say, "Another controversial amendment was removed by its author, Marco Rubio. The amendment would have required Iran to recognize Israel's right to exist." Off the table. Iran doesn't have to do anything of the kind. In fact, they have said it's their goal to eradicate Israel. Wipe it off the map. Have been saying this again and again and again. And here, the negotiating powers don't even seem to care about that. Don't even seem to care. Now, Bloomberg pointed out on April 13 that another player is involved here who does care, but they care as to how they can support Iran, and that is no other than Russia. President Vladimir Putin lifted a ban on the delivery of S-300 air defense missile systems to Iran. While the two countries had signed an $800 million contract for the system in 2007, Russia halted delivery after the United Nations imposed an arms embargo 3 years later. But now a deal is being made, and of course now Russia can send all these weapons to Iran. to Iran, a country engaged in terrorism. And here the Western powers, what are they doing? Thomson Reuters had already stated on March 29, quoting Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, that the deal was even worse than anticipated. And at that time, we published the following comment in our weekly update. At that time, it was update 682. American foreign policy is almost too incomprehensible and inconsistent as to make any sense. While America strikes or tries to strike a deal with Iran, it supports the fight against Iranian-backed rebels in Yemen, while supporting the fight against Iranian-opposed Sunni radicals, IS, while supporting both Sunni and Shiite rebels against Syria's Assad, while antagonizing Israel. Now, you try to make any sense out of that one. It is incredible how terribly wrong the United States of America has become on the world scene. And people see that, nations see that, and they understand there's no way we can ever rely on that nation anymore. And so that's why the vacuum which the United States has created will be filled. Will be filled by other powers, will be filled by other nations, will be filled by Russia, will be filled by nations in the Middle East, will be filled by a United States of Europe, as the Bible clearly prophesies. What we are seeing right now is the absolute inevitable downfall of the United States of America. Make no mistake, there is no way that America will ever become the power it was once. It's over. It's gone. And the Bible prophecy makes this very clear. And it's happening because of the way we live, the way we act, what our priorities are, because our whole way of life is so terribly wrong and against the way of God. Now, I hope that you will look into what the Bible has to say, because the Bible, and only the Bible, gives you the right answers to the questions which we all should be asking. It tells you why these things are happening. It tells you what you need to do in your own personal life to become more acquainted with your Creator and what to do and how to live and get away from this political nightmare which we are creating for ourselves, because there's no hope and there's no help in that. If you want to understand more and learn more about what I'm talking about here, read our free booklet on the rise and fall, or the fall and rise, of Great Britain and America. Yeah, their balls are going to go down. But then, once Jesus Christ returns, they will again come to great prestige and power, but not before then. And you need to understand as to why that is. And we have many booklets you can ask for, which we have published and printed. They're free of charge, which talk about political, prophetic events, and why they are happening, but more importantly for you, they talk about your Christian lifestyle, how you need to live. Because this world is going downhill. Terrible times are going to happen. A great tribulation is prophesied, so bad that unless Jesus Christ would intervene, no human being would even survive. A nuclear world war is prophesied, my friends. This is not something I like to say, it's something I have to say. It is prophesied, but we can be protected when we follow God's way of life, and that's why you need to know what that is, and why the politicians of this world, and I don't care in what country they live, have no solution, none whatsoever, when it comes to the nightmare they themselves, to an extent, are creating. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.